Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, two elderly guys were missing at their retirement home. Where had they gone? To a heavy metal festival, of course. And Alaska Airlines is becoming decidedly less travel friendly. Updates are next.
Yes, at 3:20, we make you a smarter traveler by introducing you to Seat Guru. It's an app that can help you get the seat that you want on the plane, and more importantly, avoid the seats that you don't want.
As the current round of wildfires are brought under control, the people who make their living off tourism in those areas face a tough road ahead. In the second half of the show, we tell you how you can help.
We also have a live update on the Southwest flights to Hawaii, and if we find time, our featured story about the two guys who bought a ghost town.
Thank you for spending part of your Sunday afternoon with us. Welcome to an exceptionally busy edition of the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Friends, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel Guys every Sunday, 3 to 4 o'clock, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's a pleasure to be here, and, you know, it's nice to see a little bit more breathable air here in Sacramento. Hope you've had a wonderful week. Mark, I spent a little bit of time in search of fresh air in Denver, Colorado, and I found it. It was kind of nice.
Well, if you found some fresh air, what else did you find in Denver? Anything interesting or exciting?
We did. We, saw some sights. I visited the Capitol. And the highlight for me and my wife was we visited a place called the Red Rock Amphitheater, which is about 30 minutes out of town on the way out towards Boulder, and carved out of the side of the mountain, or actually just reconstructed something that's been there for 1.5 million years, is this amphitheater. And they have a little museum at the very top. And if you're not one that wants to walk the stairs, you can drive all the way up to what they call the drop-off location. You park there and you can go into this museum. And they have, on the wall, lists and lists of all the people that have played at the Red Rock Amphitheater, including the Beatles back in 1964 on their first U.S. tour, played there for a $6.60 ticket.
Wow.
Didn't even sell out. It was 9,000. That was before the Beatles had really taken off. And anyway, you name an act, I'm more than likely, except for the Rolling Stones, everybody's played there.
Before we go to the travel news, we probably should explain to folks that we talked this week about an interview with a couple guys who bought a ghost town. And indeed, we've already done that interview and it's sitting in the can, so to speak. We have three live interviews the second half of the program. And a couple of them involve folks that are up in the fire areas. And we also have someone from Hawaii calling in to give us the update on the Southwest Airlines situation. Some news broke this week on that, so we'll bring you up to date. And so those are all three live interviews. Sometimes live interviews don't always come out the way that you hope they do, or people don't always call in. So you might hear the ghost town interview. And if you don't, I promise you will hear it next week.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we're going.
There you go. It's a potpourri. You never know what's going to happen next. By the way, on the 7th, this past Tuesday, that was the day that when we spoke with Gwen Duncan, and her insider information indicated that perhaps the Southwest was going to announce the dates of the flights. It didn't really quite happen that way.
They didn't do that, but they announced quite a bit of other information that would be helpful to you if you were planning a flight on Southwest, and they kind of gave us sort of an idea of when that whole thing might be coming. So, yes, we're hoping for that interview sometime in the back half of the hour. So, why don't we get going with the travel news right now?
Okay, let's make it happen. Well, looks like we got a different version of The Power of Love by Huey Lewis in the news today. So, Mark, what's new in the travel news?
Let's see here. We've got We've got two elderly guys. I mentioned this story in the headline. And the two elderly guys had gone missing. They were found. They went 25 miles away from their retirement home. Now, it doesn't say how old the guys are, but they're in a retirement home. So let's assume that they're at least in their 60s or 70s.
Well, you know, what's his name? Mick Jagger is probably 80. So, you know, people going to see Mick could easily do.
So they couldn't find these guys. And apparently there's this huge heavy metal festival called the Wacken Open Air Festival. It's a day-long festival mm-hmm. not far from where their retirement home is in Hamburg. And so they couldn't find these guys. They were suspected to have made their way to the festival on foot and public transport, although nobody knows exactly how they got there and the guys are not telling. They were found by authorities. Now, this is kind of, I found this to be kind of humorous, because they were located disoriented and dazed at the Wacken Festival at 3 a.m. on Saturday. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that at any kind of a music festival, but a heavy metal music festival, at 3 a.m. on Saturday, almost everybody there would be disoriented and dazed.
I would say that's true.
So here's a tip of the cap to the guys who left the retirement home and went to the heavy metal concert. I think that is just that truly is one of the best stories ever.
That's great.
Southwest Airlines. Here's a story about airline bathrooms. We talked a couple weeks ago about how these are getting smaller. Well, here's the flip side to that story. Folks with disabilities are suing the airlines for access, better access to the bathrooms. Apparently, on some of the single aisle planes, you can't get even an aisle chair down the aisle and in and be able to use the facility on any level. So somebody who gets on in a wheelchair is basically trapped. They can't use they're not going to be able to use the restroom for the duration of that flight. And whatever happens with the tarmac and, you know, the gate that won't come out and unload the airplane or all of those kinds of things. So some folks have filed a lawsuit. It's Paralyzed Veterans of America, and my guess is that there is not access for these people. So my guess is they're going to win this, and if they win, it may have an effect that will help all the rest of us, because it may mean that the airlines will have to make the bathrooms a size that people can actually get into, that disabled people can get into, so abled people will find that, I'm guessing, to be quite the benefit.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to stop allowing people that are disabled to have to board with wheelchairs. They're not going to say, well, you can't fly. So at the same time, you know, they say, well, you can fly, but you know what? We're not going to make anything available for you to use the restroom.
And, exactly.
Yeah, no, they're
well, and
they're
here's anecdotal evidence that people who were interviewed in the preparation of this story, who indicated that, you know, they avoid planes with these single aisle planes that don't have accessible restrooms and things like that. And that all you have to do is get into the situation once where you're trapped, and then that becomes kind of a problem. So good for them. That's something that could end up benefiting all of us mm-hmm. flyers. Mm-hmm. Here's a new study that proves that the Southwest effect is really is actually a real thing. In cities where Southwest has 100 or more flights, is a focus city. Southwest doesn't really call them hubs, but we all know the cities where Southwest has a lot of flights, and Sacramento is becoming one of those cities. The average fares in the cities where Southwest has more than 100 flights is 11% lower than the other airports in the country, other major airports in the country. It's really interesting. Midway has the lowest average fare of any airport in the country, and Oakland is second, and those are both strong Southwest airports. And then you've got San Jose, Dallas Love, Denver, Baltimore, Tampa, Sacramento. So the Southwest Airlines effect definitely, according to this study at least, makes airfares lower in cities where Southwest has a large concentration of flights. How interesting. Folks in Congress get, I don't know if you know this, Tom, but folks in Congress get a whole lot of flight benefits. They don't pay those onerous cancellation fees that we pay, and they're automatically upgraded to first class whenever they fly.
Special government.
And, they get special fares and all kinds of things. But now a couple folks, including Ralph Nader, remember him?
Sure.
Ralph's been around. He must be about 120 at this point. Ralph is raising a little heck now and says that these folks in Congress are getting more benefits than they deserve. And probably not too many people would argue that. So we'll keep an eye on that. Last week, we brought you a story that said TSA was thinking of dropping screening at 150 secondary and tertiary airports. The idea being that you would get screened once you arrived at the main airport where this little feeder plane was coming into. The outrage from that, we said at the time last week that this is something somebody floated and it'll sink probably by Monday afternoon, and that was indeed the case. Very quickly, TSA came out and said it was Tuesday afternoon it took for them. So it took 2 days to say that no, that was not going to happen. Ever think about climbing Mount Everest?
Yeah, maybe once a long time ago, but
Mount Everest is apparently a great place. I've never done it myself. It takes a couple of months to go up and go down.
That was the reason I haven't. I've never had a couple of free months. Otherwise, I'm sure I would have been all over that. Okay, where's this story going?
So there are people go up and on down the mountain, and they try to bring almost everything with them that they leave on the mountain. But there's one thing that people leave on the mountain that they don't bring with them.
Uh-oh.
Poop.
Yeah.
The average person leaves about 60 pounds of poop on the mountain. And so that's becoming over time a problem because, as you can imagine, the temperatures and stuff are such on Everest that the poop stays fairly well preserved.
Sounds like a Roger Miller song.
Well, they had some poop porters who went up on the mountain this summer and have taken down as about 14 tons of poop. And they've put it in a frozen lake bed partway up the mountain. There's only one problem that someone has now discovered.
What would that be?
The frozen lake bed is starting to slip down the mountain from the weight of all of the poop. So,
yeah. You want to be downhill from that.
No, you don't. I mean, because they put 14 tons of poop in there. And
so is there, you know, you don't see anything there about any new rules. If you're climbing Mount Everest, take with you, back with you, everything that you leave, but don't leaving anything behind.
Well, they're going to try to create a new thing called a digester. Which a cross between a sewage treatment plant facility and a gigantic thermos, because here's the problem is, in order to convert this to methane gas and stuff like that to something usable, they have to heat it up. And of course, where they're at, heating it up is not, so they're going to have to insulate it and figure out a way to get the poop warmer so that then they can get it. I know, but I'm just talking science here. It's all we're talking about.
Yes, and this is the travel news, I might add, here on the Travel Guys. Go ahead.
All right, New York City has voted to cap Uber and Lyft vehicle licenses. This is a big story in New York City. This probably has something to do with the taxi cab drivers. The number of ride-hailing vehicles operating in the city has jumped from about 12,000 in 2015 to 80,000 this year. It's causing traffic problems. I've been to New York. I go there regularly. I can attest to the fact that every second vehicle on the road in New York City is an Uber or a Lyft. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's 14,000 taxi cabs a day.
It goes taxi cab, Lyft, taxi cab, Uber.
Yeah, exactly. Except now it's kind of changing to Uber, taxi cab. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, Uber is trying to fight this, but the city says, no, it's too much traffic. And also the other problem is that the ride-hailing drivers are finding that they're not making as much money because there's so much competition for ride-hailing services. So there you go. If you're going to New York City, it's not that they're eliminating any of them. They're just saying 80,000 is enough. So who knows? CNN has announced that they have cobbled together another season for Anthony Bourdain. If you enjoyed watching his program on CNN, it was their highest rated program. Also drew their highest advertising cost. The ads on that show cost more than any other CNN show. Only one episode had been completed, but several others had been partially completed, and so they don't have his narration behind it like he usually provided, but they're going to go back to the store, to the sites, and get narration from people who are in the story. So there is going to be one more season, short season, of Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown, even though Mr. Bourdain is no longer with us. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. You can follow along with stuff on the show at TravelGuysRadio.com. All right, coming up, introduce Seat Guru, an app that can help you get the seat that you want on the plane and maybe avoid the ones you don't. We're going to take a look at one of Mark's upcoming flights and talk about it. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com, as I mentioned. There you can drill in and follow along. It'll be fun right here on The Travel Guy. Here we are, the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
That is one of my favorite songs.
There you go, huh?
I do. It's not that I have this incredible love for Alabama. I don't dislike it, but I've always liked that song. I don't know why.
Lynyrd Skynyrd, right?
Yeah. Flashbacks from the past with old Travel Guys on the weekend. That's what happens here. Listen here.
Okay.
A couple of Travel Guys tips here before we get into the meat of the thing. We've talked about this before, but I saw this happen again the other day, and so I really want to remind people. First of all, before you travel on an airline, put the app on your phone, the airline's app on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, I really suggest to you, even if you don't care about points and miles and all those things, join the frequent flyer program anyway. You can opt out of everything they send you. You'll never hear from, you can fix it so you never hear from them again, except that you will have a number. And you will be a frequent flyer. And when you fly that airline, why get your miles put there? If you ever accomplish something by getting enough miles to do it, great. If you don't, you've done two really important things. If you're on en route someplace and your flight gets canceled, the chances that you can go to your app and see that you're rebooked and not have to stand in that line or get on the phone forever are excellent. And this happened to me in Seattle a couple weeks ago. I see this huge long line of people. And this lady she's got three small children with her, and she's got her phone out, and she's somebody said, "Do you have the United app?" And she said, "Yes, I heard her as I was kind of walking by." She said, "Yes, I do." And the gentleman said to her, he said, "Well, you should pull it up." And this line was probably 60 people long, and she was 50 deep. And she pulls the, so I just stopped, and because I was going to offer maybe to help her or something.
Right.
She's juggling these three kids.
A lot of people will get that, and they don't use it, and they're nervous, they're confused, and they really don't know how to use it.
So the guy showed her to open it up and put her, you know, and how to find. Well, sure enough, she had used it once or twice before, and right there in front of her was her rescheduled flight.
Oh boy.
United was
That's
saying,
nice.
Here's, mm-hmm. you know, here's what we've got you on. And apparently it was something okay with her, left in about an hour and a half. And she was happy because now she was going to be able to get something for the kids to eat. I guess they'd had a very close connection. And so she was just thrilled. And she probably would have waited in that line with those three kids for 45 minutes, which probably would have seemed like 3 days.
Right.
With three small children mm-hmm. who were cranky and hungry and stuff like that. So really and truly, probably the best single piece of wisdom that we can offer is that if you're flying, make sure you have the app for the airlines you're flying on your phone and that you have enabled it and that you're using it so that the airline knows that that's a line of communication to be able to get to you. Because in many cases, you'll find in tough situations, the computer will be your friend. And now you don't have to stand in a line or anything, because if what they've given you works for you, then that will solve your problem.
There you go. Great advice.
So anyways, I just wanted to kind of double back to that one because of that situation that I watched happen the other day. And the smile that came over that lady's face when she saw that she had been rebooked automatically with the computer was worth stopping here to tell you guys about it. Okay. Seat Guru is what we were going to talk about here. This is, if you want to follow along, you can go to seatguru.com, just the way it sounds, all one word, SEATGURU.com, or you can do this later. If you haven't heard of this app, I've used it for many years. It's one of my favorites. It has a layout of every type of aircraft that is used by commercial airliners, and it has them specific to the flight that you're on. For example, Tom, I'm flying to Philadelphia tomorrow. So I'm flying United Airlines through Denver. So before the program started, we pulled up the seat map of my first flight. And you can see there in first class, they've got seats that are, you know, the bulkhead seats are sometimes not as preferable to people. And then you go back into coach and it tells you economy plus which seats are better and which are worse. And you get all the way to the back of the economy plane there. And of course, the last row in front of the restroom has the red in front of it. But this is the way that you know when you're getting ready to pick a seat on an airplane, or worse yet, the airline assigns you a seat because you were too cheap to buy one. So they assign you one and you're thinking, wow, you know, there's a few seats open here. I might be able to move out of this seat. I wonder if it's a good seat or a bad seat. And these seating charts will tell you, based on the responses and the comments that people have given on that specific type of aircraft, and they'll show which type of aircraft is being used on your specific flight if you want. Also shows you, there's a key up on the right-hand side that will show you in each level of service, first, United's economy, better economy service is called Economy Plus, an economy tells you what the pitch of the seat is, mm-hmm. how far from the front of one seat to the front of the next one, what the width of the seat is, and whether it reclines or not, and how much it reclines is all right there for you. So you know what you're getting into. So if you're flying United or Frontier or Southwest, or you're thinking about, should I upgrade to a first class seat? There's all the information that really you would need to tell you how much more advantageous a more expensive seat might be. And also, if you were getting ready to buy a more expensive seat and you went on this site and you saw, wow, the only more expensive seats that are available have these red markers on them that say people have said those aren't the best seats. So then you might decide not to spend that money.
I'm looking here at seat 21A. Let's say you want to, you know, you want to have some AC power so you can plug your phone in and so forth. Mm-hmm. This guy here has AC power. It also has a little extra leg room due to the exit row in front. Mm-hmm. However, the seat has a short armrest attached to the exit door.
You've ever set it in an exit row?
Yeah, which maybe bothers.
Doesn't have a full armrest, has a partial armrest mm-hmm. that's actually attached to the door instead of to the seat. So again, that's something that is, if you sometimes on planes, you've got two rows of exit rows right next to each other, the first row doesn't recline.
Mm-hmm.
So you get on the plane and suddenly you find out that you're on a 6-hour flight and you're stuck in a seat that doesn't recline, and that's important to you. So here is a way that you can become a little smarter when you're getting ready to select your seats. You go and pull up your flight ahead of time, and they will show you, based on what people's comments have been on that configuration on that aircraft, which seats are better and which ones are not quite as desirable.
Very good. Very
good. Keep you away from the restroom, we hope, and all the people waiting in line there.
Okay. Well, that's is that it?
That's it.
Okay, good.
After the news,
yes,
we are going to come back here, and we are going to talk to some folks who have been, tourism folks, who have been impacted by the fires up in the Mendocino area, and also we're going to give you some information if you have an RV and you're coming from that area, a place you could park it.
That's next, right here on The Travel Guys. Thanks for joining us. We're the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, every Sunday, 3 to 4 o'clock. Again, follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. And when you leave home and you want to either listen live or check out one of our podcasts, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. We got a link there. Also, iHeartRadio. Download the iHeartRadio app, and you can find us pretty much all of the time. All right, Mark.
I have a short.
We're headed down. You know,
I'm not very tall to start with, but I have a short over here.
So. Oh, in your headphones?
If I look at you like kind of funny, it's because I can't hear what you're... Because, you know, when you have the headphones on, they cancel out the voice. So I'm being real kind to it here.
Be careful. Those are the special Tom Romano personal headsets.
Oh, yeah.
Don't break them yet.
That we've been using for about the last 30 years, I think.
No. Anyway, let's see.
We have a guest.
From Lake County.
We do have a guest. Joining us on the phone is Bernie Butcher. Bernie is proprietor at the Tallman Hotel and Blue Wing Restaurant up in Upper Lake in Lake County. Bernie, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, glad to be here. It's nice to talk to you guys.
Hey, Bernie, you guys are kind of survivors at this point, huh? Tell us, for folks who don't know, Upper Lake is a little town located Upper Lake mm-hmm. on the top of Clear Lake. I guess if you were
we're pretty creative here. At the top of Clear Lake is Upper Lake, and at the bottom is Lower Lake.
Well, there you go. Even I might be able to figure that one out.
And
pretty good.
And so, Bernie, you guys have had some fairly close calls here over the last week. Tell us what's going on up there now.
Oh yeah, the fire started a week ago Friday, about an hour apart, and we just passed both of the starting points about an hour before they started, but I don't think we had anything to do with it. And, this is now the ranch fire is now the biggest, in terms of acreage, the biggest fire in the history of California, although it has burned primarily in forest areas. So compared to Redding and Santa Rosa last year, and the great work of the fire team, we've lost relatively few structures.
Bernie, you've got a hotel and a restaurant. You had to close that for a period of time. Have you reopened yet? What's the situation there?
Yeah, we had to close a week ago. What's today? Sunday. A week ago today. And we reopened the restaurant last night, and we're reopening the hotel tomorrow.
Now, do you have, are you accommodating firemen at this time, or are local people who still can't get back to their properties? Who's staying with you? I'm guessing there aren't too many tourists, per se.
No, well, right now it's zero, because when we reopened, when we were allowed back into the town, which was 2 days ago, then it took, on the restaurant side, we had to get rid of the old food and restock and to get going again. And then the hotel, ServPro and others came in just to make sure we had everything totally cleaned up, no smoke smell or anything in the rooms. And they're as spick and span as they've ever been now, ready to go.
Yeah, now, Bertie, did you have, how close did the fire come to your property?
Well, I think if people know, if you've been coming from Sacramento over Highway 20, going to the coast, going to Ukiah and up the coast, you know that on the left-hand side will be the lake, and then on the right side will be a little town starting with Clear Lake Oaks, and then Lucerne and Nice and Upper Lake. Then you'll pass the Blue Lakes before you get to Ukiah. So the fire burned on not the lakeside, but on the hillside, and so all of the towns, those four towns I just mentioned plus Blue Lakes, had to evacuate. And these guys did an amazing job of backfiring and creating a situation so that all the towns were fully protected and most of the structures. It's really quite amazing to drive along and see what a professional job they did. The fire is still burning a lot to the north of us now in the Lake Pillsbury area and so on, but the fire is well away from us at the moment.
How's the air quality there, Bernie? Is it getting better?
It's kind of variable. When the prevailing winds blow toward you in Sacramento, we're okay. And if they come a little more from the north, then some of these fires up by Lake Pillsbury is a little smoky. Like yesterday was great. We have a little smoke left over today. But all the roads in and out of Lake County are in good shape. People driving along Highway 20 will hardly notice, because most of the fire has been up in the hill. So the lake itself is still doing great. All the wineries, other tourist attractions here, not affected at all. All the programs that are scheduled to go here, like the county fair and the annual bike ride and the airplane splash in into the lake, all of those are scheduled to go ahead as planned. So we hope it doesn't set our tourist business back too much.
So if you have an activity scheduled in Lake County in the coming weeks, it sounds like Bernie's unofficial word here is that pretty much everything is going to go on as scheduled, barring any more fires. We're talking with Bernie Butcher. Bernie is the proprietor of a restaurant and hotel in Upper Lake, up at the top of Clear Lake, which has been in harm's way for the fire. Bernie, at this point, before I let you go, what would you like to tell people who are listening now, who maybe were thinking about coming up to the Mendocino Clear Lake area sometime before the end of the summer or after the summer crowds are gone, and now maybe they're a little afraid to come? What would you tell them?
I would say, there's pretty good spirit around here. We've been through these fires before. I was talking to one of our local supervisors the other day, and I congratulate him on all of the professionalism with which they'd handled all this. And he says, well, we've learned from all the other fires, but now we can't cash in because most of the burnable part of the county is already burned. but there's no doubt that you'll find some great people up here. We love it ourselves. We restored this old hotel to, I think we got the nicest property in the county, and a good restaurant and good clientele. We do a lot of music events here. Just one other point to show the bounce back from the fires. We had to cancel a blues festival that we had scheduled for August 3 through 5 outdoors. We do a lot and with some really excellent musicians. And one of the musicians, the band from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, called the other day and said, hey, let's make up for this. We want to support Lake County. So they're coming back, making a special trip to come back over Labor Day weekend. So we're gonna have a big celebration of what they call here Lake County Strong.
Well,
I think people should come this way and see what we have to offer.
Well, Bernie, thank you for the update. You will have a Sports Leisure Vacations group there dining with you for lunch on Wednesday. So we are pleased to be coming up that way. So we're headed over to the coast. And the folks from Mendocino, by the way, report that if you're headed for the coast, you know, once you pass Highway 101, you've left the smoke area. So you're headed over to the coast. Everything is open and all the roads are open. And Bernie is basically saying that the roads to get to Mendocino are open. So there's no reason not to continue with your summer vacation plans. Bernie, thank you so much for spending a little time with us this afternoon on the Travel Guys.
Real pleasure. Thank you.
You are very welcome. It's really important, Tom, that people, I mean, I know that, you know, you don't want to go see it. Bernie said, well, the fire was mostly up in the hills. You're not going to see, it's not going to look any different. But it's important that folks who planned to go to these places, to visit friends, to whatever, because you're going to eat in restaurants, you're going to stop in gas stations, and you're going to buy Cokes, mm-hmm. and you're going to stop for ice cream, and you're going to support all of these people, that if all of a sudden people stop coming, then there's nobody, then this becomes even worse than it already was, because it becomes even an even worse situation for them.
So. Right. Well, this is, exactly what went on last year in the Napa area. And when the places to stay and the vineyard tours and so forth were still there. And there was lots and lots of things to do. Once the majority of the fires were out and the town started to get back to normal, you know, a lot of people were hesitant to want to go back up into
right,
that area
right.
because they thought maybe they'd be in the way or whatever. And they actually launched a pretty significant marketing campaign to let people know that, that area is up and running. And what Bernie has shared with us, I think, holds true.
Well, and
area.
It's even more important in Lake County, because I'll just tell you something. Mendocino and Napa and Sonoma, these are areas associated with generally a little more cash. Lake County I've been in the tourism business for 40 years. When I started, Lake County was the poor sister of the region, and to this
right.
day, it still is.
Mm-hmm.
So their tourism dollars are way, the money you spend there goes further. It costs less money there. Maybe you don't have the fancy facilities, but it's so much more important to the people who live in that area. All right, we have another guest that we're going to get here to talk a little bit about a new RV park, and also if you're fleeing from someplace with a fire, and who knows where the fire will be next week, maybe a place that you might head to. And also, we hope, an update on Southwest going to Hawaii. Coming up next on The Travel Guys.
Amarillo by morning.
The Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here every Sunday, 3 to 4 o'clock. And all right, we got our another guest on the line.
Another guest joining us on the Travel Guys is Caitlin Butler. Caitlin is the resort manager at Cava Robles RV Park, which is a brand new park in the Casa Robles area. Is that right? Hi, Caitlin. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hello. Good afternoon. Yes, Cava Robles is located in Paso Robles, California.
Before we talk a little bit about your property there, you folks have very generously made an offer to other folks who might be fleeing fire areas, who have RVs maybe parked at their home or just that they're trying to get out of a fire area, that folks could come and stay with you. Can you tell us, our listeners, a little bit about that?
Yes, we are offering a 20% discount on both our RV sites as well as our vacation rentals. For anyone who doesn't have an RV, we do have other ways to stay with us. And it's just a nice offer, whether they're fleeing because they're affected and need a place to stay, or they just want a break from the smoke, you know, whatever that may be, we're offering a 20% discount.
So you have an amazing new resort down by Paso Robles. The central coast of California is absolutely one of the hottest vacation destinations in the country. Tell me a little bit about your resort there.
So we are a brand new ground up development with Sun Resort. So we're called Cava Robles. We opened May 4th and we have 332 sites total. 20 of those are vacation rentals. It's a beautiful property, you know, tons of natural oak trees, still some natural grasslands, just a really great location in the heart of Paso Robles and a ton of fantastic amenities.
So you indicated that you're just now opening?
Yes, we opened in May officially. So we're still bright and shiny and brand new.
Okay, and you say you have, if for those that don't have RVs, you have some camp spots. Tell us a little bit about what your facilities, what's there.
Okay, so we have RV sites for anyone who has a motorhome, trailer, fifth wheel. Those are all full hookups, water, sewer, electricity, cable, and Wi-Fi. And then we have vacation rentals as well.
Wi-Fi?
Three different styles of those. So we have, you know, a one bedroom that's geared towards a great kind of couples getaway, and then some two bedroom options, a really great unit that has a rooftop deck. So we kind of cater to everybody's idea of vacation and whatever you're looking for up to six people in those.
Caitlin, you mentioned that you had another property besides the new one in Paso Robles. Where is your other one at?
So we actually have two other properties in Paso Robles. We have Wine Country RV Resort, which is about 2 minutes away from Cava. And then we have Vines RV Resort as well, which is about a 10 to 12 minute drive. All of them have really easy access to really the heart of Paso Robles. You know, wineries are just a hip jump away from us. Downtown Paso Robles, really easy to get to. So they're all fantastic locations.
Caitlin, I don't have a website to post on our website for you. So why don't you take a moment and tell anybody who might be listening how they could find out more information?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us at CavaRoblesRVResort.com. If you're interested in reservations, have general questions, anything like that, you can also reach us on our office line, which would be 805-242-4700.
Okay.
We're open 7 days a week.
And that's Cava Robles. If you're looking for the RV resort, CAVA. Caitlin, thank you so much for coming with us on the Travel Guys today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All righty. If you are looking for a place, maybe you've run from the fire or whatever your circumstances might be, sounds like that they have at least some options there, and a beautiful new the Central California coast is so hot right now in terms of just rental prices are going up, vacation rentals, hotel prices. I've not seen anything like it in recent times. Hotels are 25% more than they were a year ago.
And this shows you how far we've come. Wi-Fi available at your campsite. Okay.
All right, let's go to Hawaii. I think we have on the phone Jeff Tucker. Is that you, Jeff?
Yes, it is.
All right. Hi there. Jeff is with a great Hawaii news information discount sort of outfit that Gwen Duncan told us about, Tom, way back when. I said, Gwen, where did you get such great information on Southwest Airlines? And Gwen said, well, let me just tell you, I've subscribed to these guys in Beat of Hawaii, and they have great information that they share on a regular basis. So, guys, Jeff, you were at a meeting this week with the Southwest folks?
Yeah, I was. We're based on Kauai, but I was over in Honolulu for an invitation event that was done with Hawaii Tourism Authority and Southwest Airlines. I think I was the only media person in attendance. I'm not quite sure how that worked out, but it was a great opportunity. I got to talk with the executives of Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
They had quite a team of people there. And, you know, for those of you in, you know, the Bay Area, you're very familiar with Southwest. But for us in Hawaii, it's a totally, you know, new travel paradigm. And we're really excited about them. And I got to talk with Andrew Watterson, who's one of the top C-suite guys at Southwest Airlines. He was very forthcoming and had a great conversation with him over a period of time. And I'm happy to, you know, share with you anything. We also wrote about it extensively on our website, beatofhawaii.com. And but please ask me anything. I'd be happy to tell you what I know about that or any other aspect of Hawaii travel. We've been covering it for over 10 years.
Well, Jeff, the first thing that we want to make clear to our listeners is that we didn't get the announcement that we were really hoping for, which was when are the flights going to start? But you had some and because this is only important because the holidays are coming and people who are thinking about going to Hawaii for the holidays are probably hoping that Southwest enters the picture because it would change the fare situation a little bit. Of course, the longer you wait, if Southwest doesn't enter for the holidays, then the more it's going to cost you to get there. So right now it's a little bit of a crapshoot. But tell us what you know about when the flights might be starting.
Okay. Where did we get the idea, first of all, that it was going to be announced in August? Came from the airport manager at Sacramento, of all things. So he had said that he learned, and apparently from Southwest, that it would be in August. That obviously was not correct information, and I was told, no, there was no announcement. What Andy said, I mean, he was the top executive, so if I keep saying Andy, it's because I think when you get it from him, it's as close to, you know, the head of that company as you can get. He is a chief revenue officer in addition to being executive vice president.
Yeah, you got very far up the ladder there, very far.
As far as I could go. Anyway, he said that they would rather err on the side of caution and disappoint us today, but they don't want to go the other direction, which was to announce flights before they have the actual proving or test flights across the Pacific, which could happen, I mean, literally any day. And those will be then very close to when they will get the complete ETOPS certification for flying their planes to Hawaii. And that's the point at which they're going to announce. And he said, because they don't want to pre-announce, it's going to be a compressed time frame from the point that they get ETOPS certification and make that immediate announcement to the first flights, which he said could literally come just a few weeks later.
So there is still hope that Southwest will be flying to the islands by the holidays.
If you ask me, you know, because people always ask us our opinion, I think they will be flying before the holidays.
And you also figured out, Jeff, through your conversations with the Southwest folks, that it looks like that probably they'll start with Honolulu and Kahului and then branch out to the Big Island and Kauai at sometime in the future, but in the short future.
Short future, yeah. I'm guessing a month or two later, they're just going to get all their logistics. They have a bunch of logistics they need to get ironed out, some of which I haven't even talked about on our website yet. But, you know, they said they're going to have food, but they're not quite sure how they're going to do food across the Pacific. And they don't have aircraft are not equipped with things like heaters and chillers and all the things we come to expect in other airplanes. So how they're going to do food, even things like that, they've got to sort of play through it. And I think they're just going to start with those two runs, you know, probably from, you know, four or five cities to those two locations, maybe even doing one inter-island stop in the process. So they might, you know, they could even fly to Honolulu and then do a hop to Maui.
Yeah,
and then go back.
That makes perfect sense because that is the way that they have built their route system for many years. Tom, did you have a comment?
Yeah, Jeff, I've been asked several times by people that are wanting to know what particular plane, what kind of planes are they going to use to fly? Is this their normal 747s, the new ones only? Any idea?
They're starting with the 738, which is 737-800, and then will soon migrate to the MAX planes, which are the latest ones that they just started taking delivery of earlier this year. But the first flights are the 738s, and it's the same ones they're using on the mainland, no difference.
They're already having an impact on airfares and on service because, as we talked, Jeff, the other airlines are trying to get the jump on them and get things. We're just about out of time here. I want to tell folks, first of all, the website is beatofhawaii.com. Hawaii.com, all one word, beatofhawaii.com. Really some of the best Hawaii information that I have found and some of the most up-to-date information. Of course, you can buy travel from these guys too, but if you just need information, you can find it there. Jeff, will you come back with us and talk with us again about this in a couple of weeks?
We'd love to, Mark. And, you know, I wanted to say, we don't exactly sell travel. We just get, you know, a tiny commission. If you go to our site and then you book travel through one of the airlines, we might get a very tiny, seriously tiny, like a couple bucks commission. But other than that, we don't sell anything on our website. It's just supported by advertising.
Okay, got to go, Jeff. Got to go. Thank you so much. Travel guys, we will see you next week. Dance like nobody's watching.